Because we kind of serve a God of convenience today. The God of convenience determines everything, even about our faith. If it's convenient, I'll read my Bible. If it's convenient, I'll pray. If it's convenient, I'll go to church. If it's convenient, I'll do this or that. The God of convenience basically determines our life. But if we're willing to pay the price, not bow to the God of convenience, God says, you're a person of the kingdom. Now you're catching it. Any growth in Christ will happen intentionally and not by mistake.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Yesterday, we began a message entitled Invitation to the Kingdom, where Pastor Wayne taught us the importance of staying near to God and staying under God if we wish to enter the kingdom. Today, we'll learn that we must be willing to pay a price in order to enter the kingdom, but is it worth the cost, you ask? Well, here's Pastor Wayne with part two of a message entitled Invitation to the Kingdom.
Today, I'm going to give you three tips on helping you enter the kingdom of God. Are you ready? Here it is. Take some notes. The first is, would you write down, switch from automatic to intentional. I'm going to explain that. In our society, things go from manual to automatic, like cars. How many of you learn to drive on a stick shift? Raise your hand. Oh, lots. Wow. Okay. How many of you do not know how to drive a stick shift and clutch? Uh-huh. Okay. Because you know what's happened is it started off manual and then it went automatic. Now, I want you to remember this with me. In your life, things will go from automatic to manual. Let me explain. When you were young, learning was automatic. You had curiosity. You wanted to check things out. You learned automatically. You had to go to school. It was mandated. So by law, you have to go to school. But once you graduate, learning is no longer automatic. It's manual. You have to be intentional about learning. And if you're not, that's why many people are 40 years old now, and they stop learning when they're about 20 years old. You have to switch from automatic to intentional. You got to learn to read. You got to buy books. You got to read. It's intentional. The same is with your growth in Christ. It's intentional. People don't follow Christ automatically. Your growth is intentional. Any maturity you'll receive in Christ will be because you understood that it was intentional. Growth, when you're growing as a kid, growth is automatic. You just grow. But at a certain point, you have to switch to intentional and you start to grow in depth, in wisdom, in character. If you don't switch from that automatic to now intentional, you stop. It just stops. Think about it this way. When you were young, being slim was automatic. You forgot to switch it to intentional, didn't you? If you don't, it won't happen. The same is true with a vibrant marriage. When your first marriage, like, oh, this is so wonderful. Now it's intentional, manual. Because marriage is high maintenance. You have to maintain it. In the beginning, you don't. Everything is just, woohoo, it's just Disneyland. But now, if I'm going to spend time with my wife, I've got to write it in my calendar. It has to be intentional. It just doesn't happen automatically. And you know what happens automatically? What used to be life, now what's automatic is death. Growth, now deterring growth. A vibrant marriage goes to a stale marriage if you just keep it on automatic. Somewhere along the line, you got to flip the switch, and now it's intentional in your growth with Christ. It's intentional in your marriage. It's intentional in your learning. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I say, Lord, Lord, and I know all of the stuff about Christianity. No, entering the kingdom doesn't happen automatically. That's why we miss the kingdom. That's why the Lord says, you're not far from the kingdom, but you haven't entered it. You only enter the kingdom intentionally. Every day, what would the Father want? What are the ways of God? How can I cooperate? When I slip, what must I do? I've got to repent, change my mind, and return. Acts 3:19, repent and return. in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You stay near and stay under. Acts 3:19, when you mess up, repent and return in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Repentance is very important, changing your mind. But I thought God loves me out here. He does. That's not the issue. He does love you. Even when you go over the edge, He still loves you. But He's not going to take your choice away from you. You must intentionally repent and what? Return in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Let's read in your scriptures under number one what He says in Matthew 7. Go. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Why do we stray? Isaiah 53 tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one of us turning to our own ways. That's the tendency of people. Well, you say, well, do you enter into it intentionally? Yep. And you know what? You have to be willing to give up the way you used to think. Give up even some relationships. What? Yep. Yep. In fact, there's a price to pay, and we must be willing to pay the price in order to enter the kingdom. You say, but I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. But there is more than that. There's a price to pay. Let's read what He says in Matthew 5, and He's saying this to the disciples. Are you ready? Go. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. There's a lot of people that are Christians, but they're not living under the provision of the kingdom. They're straying out here like sheep that have gone astray. Well, they should be dead according to the covenant. Yep. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. God is waiting. Huh? Yeah. You see, God is not slow about what He says is His commands and the results or consequences or promises. God is not slow about His promises, we find this word. But He is patient toward all, willing that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. God is a patient God. And so when we stray, we get to repent and return. So He says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. Paul said that as he walks around to the disciples. He's going to say to them, it's not easy to get into the kingdom because you have to be willing to give up and pay the price for your life. What? Yeah, that's right. Listen carefully. Salvation is free. Everything else after that costs. Salvation is free, but you want a good marriage? It's going to cost you something. You want to have a healthy soul? It's going to cost you. Do you want to have a deep devotion? It's going to cost you. You've got to be willing to pay the price. And if we're not willing to pay the price, then you'll never enter the kingdom. Oh, you'll be a Christian. You'll have salvation, that's free, but the kingdom of God is something that's happening on the earth where God's people are going to be those in the last days of the kingdom of God that will come through the trials and tribulations. But in order to get into it, it's not easy. It's tough. Now, in fact, even Paul said it this way. He went through the churches, it says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. And saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of heaven or God. You know, there's a lot of struggles that you'll need to be willing to bear. Why? Let me give you a story of the Brazilian World Cup team. One of the greatest teams in the world that has captured World Cup trophies again and again are the Brazilians. Many young men and women sign up for the summer camps taught by the players of the Brazilian World Cup team. Now, when you go to Brazil to train in the summer with them, you'll find not a beautiful, well-lit field with air-conditioned locker rooms and free smoothies all day long. Instead, when you go to the camp of the Brazilian World Cup soccer team, you play outdoor in the hot sun on uneven fields with potholes. You play in the afternoon, and you don't have free iced smoothies. You might have tap water to drink. And in the night, you don't have lights. You play, and when it starts to get dim, you try to beat the diminishing sun before there's no more light. You go through this every day. And when the coach was asked why such poor conditions under which these young people play, especially being coached by World Cup players, why such poor and uneven conditions? Here's his answer. The coach said, because I know that if our young men and women can play on uneven fields and still play well, when they play on the smooth AstroTurf, they will become invincible Excalibur players. If they understand how to play when it's dim, when the lights are on, they'll see so much better and they will be world contenders. If they can play well when they're thirsty, when they get in the World Cup, they'll beat all the others that require water, because these men and women have learned to play and dig deep. That's where champions are made. And I think, isn't that something? Because we kind of serve a God of convenience today. The God of convenience determines everything, even about our faith. If it's convenient, I'll read my Bible. If it's convenient, I'll pray. If it's convenient, I'll go to church. If it's convenient, I'll take my wife or husband out for dinner. If it's convenient, I'll do this or that. The God of convenience basically determines our life. But if we're willing to pay the price, not bow to the God of convenience, but we're going to say, we're going to move from automatic to intentional and watch. God says, you're a person of the kingdom. Now you're catching it. Now you're catching it, because any growth in Christ will happen intentionally and not by mistake. You say, but Wayne, what if I have to give up a whole bunch of stuff here? Remember, God is not a dictator. He's a benevolent God, and he'll give back to you 100 times. But I love this person here. That you need to sometimes give it up. And here it is. Would you write this down? And trust God to provide in ways that will make you rich toward God. Sometimes we think that the only way God can bless me is through a paycheck. God is saying, there's 100 other ways that I can bless you. Because I know people that are wealthy but are not rich. They have money, but they have very little else. Their relationships are poor. Their marriage is poor. Their relationship with their kids are poor. Their soul is poor. Their spirit is poor. They're actually very poor. Wealth does not make you rich. God makes you rich. And that's why the Bible says, and God will bless you and will give you no regret with it. Or in other words, he says, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. I know people that don't have a lot of wealth, but they're so rich. They take the time with one another. They have great, deep relationships, and I envy them. In fact, I was spending time with a Mennonite family some time ago, and I saw they had 8 kids, but they didn't have a lot. They had a little farm, but boy, were they happy. They would play together. They'd have a volleyball net set up outside, and when they ate, the conversation was so healthy and vibrant. I watched that and I envied that, and I thought, that's being rich towards God. There's a lot of people that are wealthy, but listen, you can write it in your notes. There's a big distinction between being wealthy and being rich towards God. And when you become a part of the kingdom, God will help you to become rich. It may include wealth, but it doesn't necessarily, is it determined by or limited by wealth alone. There's a story in the Bible of a man who thought that he needed to gain his possessions, just like that rich young ruler. When the Lord said, follow me, he couldn't, because he said, I want to take this with me. No, 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 you have to leave that. I can't. You have to let that go. I can't. The Lord said, you got to follow me without this. I'll bless you a lot more. Now, some people just say, I can't do it. That's why you'll see in the scripture, and it's a very almost overly graphic analogy, but the Lord says this. He says, if you'll leave those things, it's going to be tough. It's like, and you have it in your notes, it's like taking an eye out and throwing it away. It's better for you to go into the kingdom with one eyeball than having two eyes and going into hell. Sometimes it's really tough. Now, is he endorsing us maiming our eyeballs? No. He's saying there's sometimes there's going to be a relationship that's going to be so hard to cut off. But if you know that that relationship is taking you away from the king, you need to cut that because you've got to make a choice. It's not both and, it's either or. And you cut that off and walk with the king. Won't I be poor? No, you'll be really rich because God will reward you in huge ways. Stories about a man like the rich young ruler that gained so much, he figured, I've got to store my materialistic things away in bigger and bigger barns because this is what gives me confidence. And the Lord said, you fool, you're going to die tonight, and what's going to happen to your confidence? There's a big difference between just being wealthy and being rich in God. You must choose. And God can give you wealth, but it's without regret. But you must be willing to leave. And then he says something really interesting, and it's in your notes. Would you read it with me? Luke 12:21. If we keep storing up treasures here and saying it is a better deal than God, what will happen is our soul's going to be required of us and we'll have nothing to stand on. Now let's read Luke 12:21. Go. So is the man who stores up treasures for himself, but is not rich toward. Yeah, God is a rewarder. Don't miss that. In fact, let's read this, Hebrews 11:6, and see how a rewarder that God is. Read this with me. Go. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to him must believe that he is, here it is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Is God a rewarder? You better believe it. Let's take a look at this next one. Even in a small way, if you just give a cup of cold water, is he going to reward you? He will if it's in his name. Let's read it. Go. If you give a cup of cold water in my name, you will not lose. And when you come under my kingdom and you go by my ways and my laws, I'll reward you. Read this one. Go. Love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. You see, God is a rewarder. Don't miss those words. But what if I have to leave a lot? Let's read what he says in your notes. Would you read it with me? Mark 10:29. Go. Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in this present age of houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Isn't that great? God says, in this life, I'll reward you. That was going really good until he got to that one phrase, along with persecutions. That bothered me. But look what he says. I will reward you 100 times. Don't think you're giving up something and you're going to become poor. You give up something and you will become rich. Rich. Oh, not necessarily wealthy, but rich. Oh, I've seen people who have been walking with the Lord. Their soul is in order. Their marriage is in order. Their relationships are pure. Their heart is clean. Their conscience is clear. Oh, it's just wonderful. They're so rich. I think, you know, that's what I'd like. Can God add affluence to that? Absolutely. But you won't be determined by it. You won't be controlled by it. You will steward it the way God wants us to steward it. But it only comes clear to those who are the people of the kingdom of God. Let me end with this illustration. You know, God will bless you in 100 different ways, not just through a paycheck. I remember some time ago, we had a Jeep Cherokee, and the Lord said, Wayne, I would like you to give that away to this one person. He actually showed me this person, and I thought, oh, man, that my car's like worth $9,000. So I said, well, let me just consult with my wife. So I went to my wife, and I said, should we give this away? She said, no way, man, it's worth $9,000. We need the money. So I went back to God, and I said, God, the woman that you gave me... I'm lying, but I said, honey, what should we do? She said, well, we do need the money. She did say that, but whatever you feel, she always says that to me, whatever you feel God's saying to you. So I said, all right, you know what we're going to do? We're going to give this away, but for the next 3 months, let's keep a log of how God will reward and bless through unsolicited checks or unsolicited blessings or gifts. Let's just keep a log. So she said, all right. So I gave it away, and we kept a log of unsolicited checks that would come in. Sometimes I would do a speaking engagement, and they usually give me $100 or something. People were giving me $500, $1,000. One gave me $2,000, and I thought, what are you giving this for to me for? And then I thought, I bet it is. And the person would say, God just said to give this to you. And that's it, and I'd write it down. And this is no kidding, after 3 months, I had logged up an unsolicited blessings, savings. I'd take my car in to get fixed, and they would just bless us and say, we're not going to charge you. It's there. I wrote that down. And all in all, when it was done, and within 3 months, I had $14,900 worth of reward for giving this car away. And I thought, wow, I got to give more cars away. I even went before the Lord and I said, God, I got 3 children. I'll give them as well. The kingdom of God. Let me tell you, when you understand the kingdom of God, staying near the King, what it means to be a people of the ways of the Lord and His reward for that, and the provision of Christ when we stumble, that we can repent and return, you'll love being a people of the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. If you're here and you say, you know, Wayne, I know some of the answers. I quote some scriptures. But today I need to make that decision to enter the kingdom of God, to receive Jesus Christ in my heart as Lord and Savior. Because the kingdom of God starts within me. I want to open my heart to Jesus Christ. If that's you, raise a hand right now, and you're saying yes to Jesus Christ. Okay, good, yeah, yep, all right, you too, yep, so many, good. If this is the first time you're receiving Christ, outside will be some ushers with yes packets. Grab one, and it is a Bible and some follow-up material. But I'm going to ask all of us to pray this prayer in closing before we sing our final song. Would you pray this prayer out loud with me? Pray this. Heavenly Father, you are my King. I choose to enter the kingdom, to be a child of God. I turn from my sins. I change my mind and I turn to you. Transform my mind, so that I might walk in the ways of God. I receive forgiveness, and I choose to follow you. And now I say this so everyone hears, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. And Lord, that's our proclamation and prayer. Thank you for embracing us as children of the kingdom. In Jesus' name.
You've just heard part two of a message entitled Invitation to the Kingdom by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Tomorrow, we'll learn about the treasure of the kingdom of God. We hope you'll join us. Now for Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope Christian Fellowship, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.